Friends, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. From Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the story of life for the people of God.
Thanks, Brian. Dear friends, would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, I am not totally sure how to preach and what to say today. I'm tired and I'm afraid of adding to more division and hurt in the world. Our people are tired after a full week with all that's happening in the world and in their families and in their hearts. Use me anyway, God of love, to speak to love in the world. Use us anyway, God, just as we are, to be your hands and feet in the world. Amen. Some researchers studied this story at Princeton Theological Seminary in 1973. They did a study on 67 Princeton seminarians to see if they would actually stop and care for people they found on the path. The students were brought one by one to one building to fill out a survey, and they were asked to give a talk. Half the group was asked to give a talk about vocation, and the other half of the group was asked to give a talk about the Good Samaritan. Then they were sent to a second building in varied degrees of hurry. Some were told, make your way, and some were told, you're late, you better get going. And on the path between the two buildings, they had placed an actor who was moaning and appearing to be hurt. The test, of course, was whether the seminarians would stop. How many students do you think stopped to help? Actually, a lot of you are right. Just under half total stopped, about 40%. About half who were talking about the Good Samaritan, under 30% of those who were talking about vocation, only 10% of those who were in a big hurry, 45% in a medium hurry, and 63% who weren't in a rush. Not terrible, but not inspiring either, and not the general population either. These are people studying to be clergy, people who say they've committed their lives to love, people who say they're willing to step and be leaders in love in the world. So what about you? What would you have done? In your hurriedness to get to work in the morning, your preoccupation with family and whatever is in your heart, your tired spirit with all that's going on, really, would you walk away like the first two passers-by, or would you approach the person like the Good Samaritan? In Bridgeton, Maine, we don't often find people laying in the road after they've been stripped and beaten by robbers. Thankfully. Amen, Leslie. But we do encounter people who have been victims of violence and abuse, oppression and prejudice, who have been robbed of their power and their rights, forgotten by power, and sometimes it might seem forgotten by love. If we let ourselves hear this story with modern ears today, who might be the people calling out to us to stop and help? Who might be the modern beaten down man in a modern hearing of the story? Who comes to mind? The homeless? Those who have lost their jobs? Veterans? Muslims? The mentally ill. Those struggling or trapped in a job that they don't like and they can't afford to leave. Those of us who struggle against unjust systems of all kinds. Hungry children, angry people, somebody strung out on drugs, somebody wrestling with addiction, somebody fighting or losing the battle to addiction of some kind, people on disability. Bored teenagers or bored anyone who makes a decision they aren't proud of. Mm-hmm. We could go on. Friends, our world needs us. There are people sitting on the side of the road, or not sitting on the side of the road, but in all of these groups that we've named, and those we didn't speak, but those that we knew in our hearts when I asked the question. This past week has seen an increase in hate crimes. Did you know that? There were 201 election-related hate crimes reported to the Southern Poverty Law Center between Wednesday and Friday at 5. A man was shot at a protest turned violent in Portland, Oregon. And marginalized people, the LGBT community, immigrants, people of color, and many women have voiced fear over whether their rights and their safety are in jeopardy. Beloved of God, whatever we voted, whatever we believe, we have to listen when our siblings in Christ say they fear for their safety and their rights. This isn't about politics or about candidates, it's about the gospel, which calls us to love one another and stand for one another. The woman being stoned, the sinner on the sidelines, the tax collector in the tree, and the one with his back against the wall. The gospel tells us these are our siblings in Christ, and we who belong to each other and belong to God must show up for one another. So I ask you today, how are you showing up? How are you willing to show up, to respond to the cries for help in our world? Do you walk by or do you respond? I saw at least four of you and have seen more of you this morning responding in a creative way. Four of you yesterday, I meant to say, at the craft fair, a beautiful community event that brought people together over art and amazing food and raised money for our Ladies Guild ministry and our mission team's work. At the fair yesterday and again today, I've seen at least four, I think now seven people wearing safety pins. Have you heard about this safety pin movement? I see somebody flashing her safety pin very proudly back there. Have you heard about the safety pin movement? It's a movement inspired by something that happened in the EU after xenophobia and violence increased after the Brexit vote. And the movement was to wear a safety pin to identify oneself as an ally, as a safe person. These past few days, as people have expressed fear, and violence and hate crimes have increased, some have responded now in the States by wearing safety pins as an attempt to identify themselves as safe people, people who will help out, stand up, and be there if needed. It's a simple way to say, you will be the Samaritan, willing to stop if anyone cries for help. I hope it is also a way to encourage one another to educate ourselves on other ways to be allies. It's a new movement here in the U.S. It was maybe 48 hours old yesterday when I saw four of you already wearing the pins here at the craft fair. I shouldn't have been surprised to see a new movement like this, a statement about love happening already in our church, should I? Since I first heard of you, I have been amazed at the incredible, life-changing, life-saving work that you do. Can I say that we do? Can I say we yet? Has it been long enough that I can say we? Okay, the incredible, life-changing, life-saving work that we do. We have been giving out clothing through Jeanette's Closet, no questions asked, every Tuesday since 1976. That is 40 years. That work is life-changing. It is life-saving. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We're packing Thanksgiving boxes and preparing for Adopt a Child, and we're teaching cooking classes every Tuesday. That work is life-changing, life-saving. Amen?
Amen.
We write checks when people call the church for the help, and the money that funds them comes from here, from our time of sharing gratitude and blessings in our lives. Those gifts are life-changing. They're life-saving. Amen. We've been open and affirming since 2005, which means that we've really, really meant it for over a decade now when we say, whoever you are, wherever you are on your journey, you are welcome here. And we teach our children and our youngest disciples and everyone who comes through those doors that love is love is love, no matter your gender or your sexual orientation, your race, your ability, your class, or any division the world makes. That message and this space is life-changing. It's life-saving. Amen? We pray together, and we worship together, we sing together, and we learn together. You've sat with one another when you've gotten terrible news, and you've sat with one another in your last days. You care for each other's families when terrible things happen. You treat each other as family because you know that we belong to God and to each other. That love is life-changing, life-saving. Amen? What did I forget that you do? What do you need named here to remember that you are a people that are life-changing and life-saving? What did I forget? The Wheels program? We offer rides, that's right. We say, I will drive you. You need to be somewhere. I will walk with you. I will show up with you. That work is life-changing, life-saving. Amen? The cooking classes. Debbie on Tuesdays. Anybody, come eat healthy food. Be in the kitchen together. You are welcome here. Life-changing, life-saving. Amen? Laughing when our little ones disrupt church, And what was over here? We pray for one another. That's a great distillation of our church. We laugh together and we pray together. And that laughter on a hard day and that prayer when we need it or even when we think we don't, those are life-changing. They are life-saving. Amen? Time and talents. That we give of our time and talents. That this is a place not just where we come and are filled up, but where we are invited to be people who participate in the mission and ministry. That we are invited to give of ourselves and to be told that every person has something to offer and to be invited to share our time and our talent. That is a life-saving, life-changing invitation. Amen. Sunday school teachers and Pilgrim Lodge leaders. Places where children can go and learn the good news that God is love, that love is love, and perhaps the best news of all when you are little and growing, that you are enough just as you are. And we're going to make a space in our Sunday school classrooms and here on Sunday mornings when we have children's time and on Lake Cabasakanti in that sacred place where we tell you in every way that we possibly can. That you are loved and you are enough. I believe that is life-changing and life-saving. Amen? We make music together. We know that song speaks in ways that words cannot. We know that song calls us together in ways that other actions cannot. And we know that sometimes we have to quiet all the rest and find spirit and grace in music. And we make space for that here. And that is life-changing and life-saving. Amen. Extra hugs. It's true. If you're not a huggy person, I'm so sorry, because this church says welcome, and they say it like this, don't they? And you can be known here and loved here before your name is even known here, and you can be embraced in body and spirit. And that hug sometimes is, we've all experienced that, haven't we? That we didn't know how badly we needed a hug until somebody offered it, and those hugs can be life-changing. They can be life-saving. Amen? And we have more to do. We have greater invitations than any of us in the room even knows, because we don't know the future. A few of you have asked me, what's next? There's hard stuff going on in our world. What are we going to do? What's our role? And that's something we're going to have to figure out together. And I believe that this church, who is in the business of life-changing, life-saving work, is going to have answers beyond anything any of us could imagine on our own, because the most beautiful sacred things happen when we gather together. So if you're interested in talking about how our church responds to the world in 2016, there are people emailing and calling and coming to me and saying, what do we do? And I'm turning back to you and saying, let's gather. If you want to be part of that gathering, let me know. Charlotte, can I say they can let you know too? Charlotte, as chair of deacons, will also welcome you throwing your name into the hat for that conversation. Friends, the world needs you. The world needs our church, people who can face darkness and be light anyways, people who will show up and stand up for each other, who won't cross the road, but will stop and go to one another and care for one another, for our rights and our voices to be heard, for our safety and our well-being. I'm so grateful to be in community with you all, with people who are working on being those who dare to stop and help. People united across lines of difference, political, economic, age, class, education, and more, united here in love of God and love of neighbor, united in faith. I've known since I first met you, since I was out in Oregon and reading about you, that you were the people that I wanted to live with, learn with, pray with, sing with, and change the world with. And since it's stewardship season, I will add, you're the people I want to write my pledge to. Writing a pledge for me is a beautiful and subversive act. It's a way of saying, this is the work and this is the way that I want to be living. This is what and who I value. And I want to be part of what we're building in every way that I can. It's a way for me of practicing generosity as a spiritual practice, a way of acknowledging that all that I have is not really mine, it's a gift from God, and I'm invited to be a steward of it. So it's using the resources I have in the same ways that I steward my energy, my heart, and my voice, trying to practice generosity and to make my bank account, like my calendar, a mission statement. What I mean is that I want to live so that if you look at how I spend my time and my money, you know what I value. And friends, one of the things I value greatly is you and this space and these life-changing, life-saving actions that we've named, and that you are the people who call and say the world is changing. What's our role? What do we do? You are the church who stops to care for the other, the church who pins safety pins to your Christmas sweaters, and who stands up for what's right and isn't afraid to speak the gospel. Your church who gathers to sing alleluia, to grieve and mourn and hold the Christ light for one another in the hardest days. So my question for you today is, what do you value most? And how are you shaping your life around it? How are you shaping your calendar, your budget, your energy, your heart around honoring those things? How are you stewarding all that has been entrusted to you? Your money and your time, your heart, your relationships, your energy, and your creativity. I invite you this week to pray about this. In our season of stewardship, I invite you to pray about pledging and whether you will make a financial commitment to build all of this and all of this and all of this. And I invite you to pray bigger than just finances, about the resources entrusted to you and how you are using all that you are and all you have to amplify light and love in the world. How are you using all that you are to dare to be the one who stops the frenzy and says, I will help? Who cares for the one who is crying out and says, I will help now? How will you seek out the one power has forgotten, the one whose voice has been silenced, whose rights are threatened, who has been diminished and marginalized, and how will you amplify their voice, stand for their rights, make space for them, be an ally, a servant, one who lives the gospel? It was the Samaritan, the outcast, not the priest or the Levite, who stopped and cared for the man in need. Will you learn today from the outcast, from the Samaritan, from Jesus? Will you dare to go and do the same in every way you can, with every resource you have, to love every other you can find? I hope, beloved of God, that you will, and you will do so courageously. Amen.